Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic mama's baby, papa's maybe. Should a man be forced to pay child support for a child that is not his? Believe it or not, it has happened. It continues to happen. And sometimes, by default, men get to be the father of a child that has not been proven to be theirs, or that has been proven not to be theirs. So if you're wondering what set this alarm off, it was an article. I think it was, I saw it somewhere on YouTube somewhere. No, I got a call from a friend. That's right, about an article that was on YouTube where it talked about the possibility of a woman suing a non-parental male for caring for her children. And I said, you know, I said, that's some crazy-ish, you know what I mean? Are the courts that corrupt, that incompetent, that desperate, and above the law? It appears that they are, or at least some are. So I went, I don't know if he gave me the article or what. Anyway, I looked at the article. I took a look at it. It was his attorney. He's not a, I don't think he works with relationships or anything like that. It's like in the child courts or anything like that. This his name is Dennis D. Sperling, I think. He was referring to a woman, and he played something that she said. Or showed something that she said. I can't remember. Anyway, she said something like this. This is not exactly what she said. It kind of went like this, which is got my, you know, my wheels turning in my head. So she called and wanted to know if she can sue a man who watched her children for 2 hours a day for child support because he is assuming a parental role. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, what? You know, what low-life lawyer and parent or person would force or attempt to force a person to pay child support after taking time out of their life to assist them with supervising their child or children? Because that's a low blow. You know, what low-life so-called judge would rule in favor of this act of extortion and mockery of the court system? So, you know, that's what came to my mind. Because, I mean, based on that, you can just take anybody to court for anything. So, you know.
This person, uh-huh. they went somewhere. They went probably to a mental health place and got it.
I don't know how that happened, y'all. Excuse me. All right, so. Caring for a child is not indicative of a parental role. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the most obvious indication that someone is taking on a parental role is they refer to the child or children as their child or children. The children refer or identify the person as a parental figure, mother or father. The person agrees to be introduced to people, friends, professionals, right? At the school, you know, as the parent of the child or children. The person introduces themselves as the parent of the child or children. So that's one thing. You know, you just can't ask a person to watch my kid for a week or two, a month, 3 months while I go to work, and now they become the parent and responsible for another man's children.
It's the best thing to do is to find him.
I don't know
place.
What's going
that
on
here.
This thing is coming on.
Maybe.
That keeps popping up for some reason. I don't know what's happening to make that pop up. Okay, I don't know what's happening there. All right. Anyway. Excuse me again. I don't know why that keeps popping on in somebody's conversation. Anyway. Second, those children have a father. And that parent should only be allowed to force the biological father or the parent to pay child support, barring extraordinary circumstances, adoption, artificial insemination, that might have some special, circumstances around, center around this whole thing about contacting biological parents and things like that. I don't know. So, they might have, those circumstances might exempt the other biological parent. So, the person seeks legal responsibility to support their parental role as agreed with the biological parent. Legal responsibility, that means that someone might, they're taking on the role as a parent, and they've applied for legal custody also. This is just me brainstorming this. So this is not any laws, anything like that. But I think it's better than giving somebody a kid that's not theirs, taking garnishing their check, and you don't know if they're the father or not. That's absurd. Whether they came to court or not, you shouldn't rule on something you don't know anything about, that you can know something about. Forcing a non-biological and a non-parental identity or non-parental identifying people who are just not identifying as a parent, I'm just helping you out with your kids, right, to pay child support violates their right to due process and a fair trial if that happens. It's simply criminal. As for heterosexual and same-sex marriages, the court should require that the non-biological parent and the biological parent share legal custody of the biological child. If the child is adopted or artificially inseminated. So if y'all both going to be the parent, then make it legal. Get some, don't go by word of mouth. And that's not good enough. A person can help you out for the time that they're with you, and that could be anybody helping you out. That doesn't make them the parent. They are assisting with parenting. That doesn't mean they are assuming the role as the parent. I'm the father of these children. No. It doesn't mean that. And they should make that very clear in court. Who's what and what certain what conditions need to be present, for somebody to even be called that. But for the biological parent, the courts can't decide that because nature has already made a decision on that. Anyway, this legal custody shows commitment to the child and establishes a legal responsibility as a parent for the child. Legal custody coupled with a legal marriage and the assuming of a parental role is indicative of someone acting in a parental role and accepting parental responsibility. And I mean, like, you know, we know biological parents, Brandon, would have run away from their own kids, abandoned their own children. But in this case, you know, if it's not really the father, why are the courts giving him a case? Like, you know, but I'm going to go a little farther because it gets a little deeper than this. It's not deep. Actually, it's not deep at all. There's nothing deep about this subject at all. It's just, to me, it just sounds like people just doing what they want to do, trying to penalize people because they can. And in the meantime, you penalizing a child and an innocent man. And based on this, a man could probably do the same thing to a female. If a man has a child, theoretically, and a woman is helping him parent the child and say they're in a relationship or not, just because you're assuming a parental role with a child, because the man could take the female to court too. So this the guy was just talking about men. He made it sound like it was just a thing that guys could go to, but seems to me that this could be, if it were applicable, somebody was to take advantage of this a law like this, it would be applicable to any type of couple, heterosexual or same sex. Doesn't matter. Once you start engaging the child, you know, the question becomes, okay, you are taking on a parental responsibility, which sounds very stupid to me. Because to help somebody with their children is not to take on not to become a parent. And I mean, because we all help each other. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, the non-biological parent can adopt a child. This legally validates the individual's commitment to the parent role in the marriage. I don't know if you do that with a in that situation. Just threw that out there because you know you adopt a child and you are saying, "Hey, look, I'm the parent. I want to be the parent." All right, so you know, that's why I threw that out there. If that could happen in that scenario. Artificial insemination, or you're not the biological father, can you adopt the child of your spouse in any type of relationship? So we're talking about legal, not ethical, moral things, and for the most part, I'm talking about the legality of, which is an ethical, moral issue also, of punishing a man or a person for assuming a parental role, even for an individual who assumed a parental role under false pretenses. Y'all know that happens sometimes, right? So, I mean, once he finds out, hey, it's not my kid, you know, why does he have to continue to pay child support for that very same child? You know, he's traumatized enough finding out that his kid's not his. So why is he responsible for that? Anyway, I heard something, not to go off script or anything, but for a minute, I heard that if you're married and your wife is pregnant by another man, that you are legally responsible for that child, which doesn't make sense again, because you could, the man, it's not a ghost. You can just go get him and make him pay for his child. But if that's the case, you know, you're saying that he doesn't have a responsibility. You're saying that telling a man who's traumatized that he has a responsibility to care for something that's traumatizing him. Anyway, if you expect a legal action, I said, you should have taken a legal action that establishes the basis of your complaint. Like, you having a child and you somebody's a parent, you want to take them to court as a parent, that individual should have made a commitment, a legal commitment as a parent to that child. And that's not hard to do. In fact, it should be required at birth of a child or per agreement to parent a child between both biological and non-biological parental parties. A verbal agreement to care for a child is best supported in a legal document. All right? So, word of mouth does not prove presumption of a parental role or responsibility. Caring for, babysitting, monitoring, interacting with a child does not indicate or prove parental responsibility. If it did, a spouse, friend, relatives, siblings, child care providers, a teacher, all or anyone could be sued in court for child support because they provided some level of care for a child. It's ridiculous. We don't have enough jail space to house everyone who people claim to have broken the law or claim that they are something that they're not. Not proven to have done, and you want to throw them in jail for it, because you can't be thrown in jail for child support, failure to pay. So that's why the evidence and conclusive evidence is necessary. In this case, the evidence is accessible. Paternity is not the same as The issue of paternity is not the same as an issue of a rental dispute, and it shouldn't be treated the same way. You know, sometimes you go to a landlord tenant court, you don't show up, they rule against you. Bam, you weren't there, we ruled against you. Okay. Even that's a problem because the landlord could be dead wrong. But now we're talking about lives, flesh, kinship, and paternity, like, who's my father? You know, or, you know, because if it's a matter of who's going to pay, then it's corruption, and we're dealing with corruption. If it's a matter of who is the father, then we're dealing with truth. And that's what we should be dealing with, is truth. You can't just pull a father out of a hat, spin the bottle, or select the man you want to be the father. Children have a right to know where they come from. Seems like the courts don't even care about that. All they care about is getting paid. A lawsuit filed or pursued by the state or an individual under false pretenses should be dealt with the full extent of the law. You just pick a guy. You know there's a chance somebody else is the father, and you drag a guy out of court, whether he shows up or not, court rules against him in terms of the paternity. He comes back with a DNA test saying he's not the father. Court says he still has to pay. That's a very cruel thing to do. Saying he has to pay, court saying his actual father doesn't have to pay. And you don't even have to reveal who the father is. That's some crazy stuff. So I'm saying that to say if it's a possibility that it may be someone else's, you need to let the courts know. Well, I think, you don't say it's his. Bring everybody to bring it all, put all the cards on the table. Say it could be. Just like the guy sent showing Maury, this lady kept saying she was sure it's, you know, start off with he's the father, and you know this particular lady, he wasn't the father. So she went through about four, maybe five guys, But why waste time like that? If you think it's four guys, why not start off with four guys? Start off with anybody you think could be the father. Don't start with the one you hope is the father, or you might think is the father, if you know there's a chance that somebody else could be the father. And you're going to drag people in court and, you know, things like that. Get it out of the way. The child's safety should always be considered if the person is filing for a visitation and there are concerns about the safety of the child. That's a no-brainer, biological parent or non-biological parent. You know, so because people are filing for custody, and I'll get to it in one of the cases where this whole thing about can I take a person to court if they watch my kids for 2 hours daily because they're assuming a parental role. This lawyer seemed to think that that could happen. I don't even know, but I'm saying I'm just want to have it all. Oh, we have a call already. I just want to have it make a statement that is absurd that anybody is forced to pay child support for anybody else's child. And you know it's not his. I don't care if it's after he signed a birth certificate. I don't care if he didn't come to court. You can't, the court cannot determine who the father is. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello, Colton. Hello, listeners. Yeah, I got a, I don't know if you said this already, but I have a theory as to why they have that rule if you fail to go to court, that if you fail to, the father, the accused or alleged father, fails to show up to court while he's then ruled to be the father, even though he didn't test or, like I said, even show up for court. I think that's to give him some type of incentive for showing up. It's like, if you don't show up, we're going to tag this on you. So the father or the alleged father will be like, oh, I better show up.
Yeah, but that's nonsense. That's what I'm saying. Paternity can be proven.
I understand. So but I'm just saying. That's why they do it.
Right.
That's
what I
think anyway.
Right. But that's stupid. Because now you have a... You don't... You can know if he's the father. Matter of fact, the woman could know if he may not be the father. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had these cases like this, and, you know, one of the cases that this stemmed from, or this whole subject stems from, actually dealt with the same sex or couple. And they separated, and since the partner assumed a parental role, they wanted, you know, what they wanted, child support and all that kind of stuff. You know, the same, you know, privileges that that would take place in a heterosexual relationship with two people, parent and a child. You know, but the child is obviously can't be the same sex person's biological child at all, you know. But that could happen in a heterosexual relationship also, you know. You get, you know, assume a parental role with a woman who has a child. And people do that. See, but I'm saying, like, you know, in those cases, this lawyer seemed to think that he was coming off about men. But as we know, this thing is a two-way street. But mostly women take advantage of that courtroom situation, taking guys to court for custody and things like that. That I see. Maybe I shouldn't even say mostly because I haven't even done a survey on it. But to my knowledge, it just seems like it's mostly the guy paying all child support. That might have changed since the crack era. You know what I'm saying? Since the 80s. that might have changed greatly. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of guys that have their children. You know, but
yeah.
I'm saying if you, in the cases that, number one, you don't know that he is the father, why are you ruling him to be the father? You can't do that. That's what evidence is for. You don't have any evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then that same guy comes back with DNA evidence saying I'm not the father, right? He don't
mm-hmm.
owe you nothing. He don't owe you no back support. Right? He don't owe you nothing.
I agree.
He's not owed no jail time. Because he's not the father. What they need to do is say, go back to that person who's identified him as the father. And see the way you just said, you think that's something punitive that they have in there for the guy, if he didn't come to court, well, they should have something punitive for the person who comes to the court and does not tell the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not being transparent in court about who may have fathered the child and you causing the person a hardship by even just bringing them into court. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of participated in that because even though he may not know, but he's one of the few who's been with this person. One of the two, three, four, or however many people she's been with during that period. But my point is, if you don't know, if you know you don't know, you should not be dragging people into court. You should be dragging everybody, you should be telling the court that it could be another guy or however many guys there is. That's what I'm saying. Be truthful. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go on, you can't be wishing who baby you have in and stuff like that. If you want to control who's the father of your child, you have to do that before you have sex with them, before you make a decision to have sex. That's how you control it.
Right. So let's say she didn't do that. Let's say she had like multiple partners and it could be one of four guys. She can't take them all in at the same time, right? Does she have to go through one at a time, a process of elimination type of thing?
Hey, I'm saying she needs to let the court know it's four suspects. Know why?
Okay.
Because now you can't rule this guy to be the father. Even, you know what I'm saying? You definitely can't do it because she's telling you he may not even be the father.
Uh-huh.
So, but they have this test for paternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's mm-hmm. what you need to deal with. So when these guys come into court, for whatever reason they missed court, one guy was in jail, he missed court. One guy said he didn't get the memo. You know, right? He didn't get the court, you know, the subpoena.
Coming.
Yeah. That's why he didn't show up. But you've been on it. They went on and ruled against him, saying you're a father. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
you don't have no way of telling who the father is. You don't even know if she's telling the truth. The court doesn't know if she's telling the truth.
Mm. That's a subpoena they get to come to family court for that?
Oh, yeah. Everybody get a subpoena to come to court.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Anybody get a subpoena. So a no-show on that family court doesn't mean that you're guilty. Doesn't make you, that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we're going to give you a child. Oh, it's your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy, you know, who is the father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys come back.
What were you saying?
Huh?
Okay. Go ahead.
Now, what's the cool? And these guys come back to this DNA test, and they still want to hold them to paying child support.
And it ain't theirs.
And it ain't theirs.
Yeah, that sucks. What were you saying about the same sex thing?
Well, this issue started from an issue with the same sex couple. Where, let me see if I can get to that. It was the same sex couple Let's see, what did they say? I'm trying to find it on the case. I got a little bit of the actual case. Stankovich and Milleron was the defendant. So that was on October 13th. The parties entered into the same-sex marriage in Canada in July 2007, which they had questioned the validity of the legality of the marriage, if the marriage was legal first, before they even considered anything anyway. But anyway, before that day, the defendant had been artificially inseminated and gave birth to a child, right? And she's the biological mother. That's the defendant. Is the biological mother, right? The plaintiff filed a complaint asserting that she participated in the care and rearing of the minor child. She requests release from the trial court, which included an order dissolving the marriage, an order affirming that she is the parent of the child, and orders regarding custody, parenting time, and child support, which is, you know, this is weird.
So the non-biological is trying to get child support from the biological?
Right. I don't know. I don't think she's getting child. You can't get child support from the biological parent. So you got a thing called a custodial parent, right? Well, let me just read it for other
ones. So who's the custodial parent? I thought you were saying that
The defendant was artificially inseminated, right? Gave birth to the defendant, the biological mother of the child, right? The parties separated.
Right. Yeah,
this they agreed. They agreed. Look, they already worked out their little thing. They worked it out between each other, right? They initially agreed to a visitation schedule. They subsequently found that they could not agree. So they had a little bump, right? They can't agree, so they're going to, I'm taking you to court, basically. So the plaintiff filed a complaint in court saying she wanted to be identified as, you know, the parent. She's not the biological parent, right?
Right, right.
So, and it says, orders regarding custody. So she said she wants partial custody, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Parenting time, right? And child support. So, but if she's going to do all of that, she's going to have to pay child support once they do all that. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, the defendant filed a motion, right? Defendant filed a motion and asserted that the plaintiff did not have standing to petition for custody of the child. The trial court granted defendant's motion, right? So she said, it's my baby, right? They supported it, right? The plaintiff appeals. This is thing going back and forth in court. And in our previous opinion, we upheld the grant of summary disposition to defendant because plaintiff lacked standing to bring this to action, right? That's some legal jargon, right? She didn't have a grounds to support her case, right? We noted that the Child Custody Act defines parent as the natural or adopted parent of a child, right? By law. So they're using the law to make a decision, right? Plaintiff is not a parent under this definition because she is not an adopted parent, right? And because she is not related to the child by blood, right? So she's not a legal parent, which is an adoptive parent, and she's not a biological parent, right? Natural parent.
So
right?
when they got married, and
already
had the baby, she should have adopted the baby.
Right. If she had taken a legal procedure, right? Right. Regarding that child, right? Then she would have been all right. Right. She would have adopted it. Right. According to that law right there, she was the adopted parent. Bam. She'd have been in like Flint.
Right.
because she had a legal responsibility as a parent to that child now. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was saying in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think that would work. If that, I don't know how that happens though. If you can adopt the child of a biological person, it seems like you should be able to do it. Because that's one half of the people just get the father, I guess. Is, you know, but if it's artificial inseminated, you only got the mother to say yes, yeah, you can adopt her. And I'm the biological mother, mm-hmm. you're the adopted parent. We're gonna roll, you know, the same sex thing like that. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
instead of rejected the plaintiff's request to apply for an equitable parent doctrine. That's what it's called, right? That was adopted in Atkinson and Atkinson. I guess two people was having it out in court again, couldn't settle things between themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this thing went on. Michigan court declined to extend the equitable parent doctrine outside of the context of marriage because recognizing plaintiff's same-sex union as a marriage under the equitable parent doctrine would have violated the constitutional and statutory provisions defining marriage, right? Plaintiff filed an application for leave to appeal in the Michigan Supreme Court in light of the pending appeals, right? And this thing just kept going. This went to the Supreme Court, man. And the Supreme Court in an order holding the application in the instant matter of abeyance. After the United States Supreme Court decision in Obergefell, the Michigan Supreme Court vacated our judgment in this case and remanded it to us for reconsideration. So they kicked it back down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently amended by 201-5-PA-51. Effective of September the 15th. Definition of a parent remains the same, although it now codified under MCL 722.22i, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they went on with the complaint. As a result, the plaintiff standing under the equitable parent doctrine was because Michigan now is required to recognize the parties of same-sex marriage, right? So apparently there was an amendment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were required to recognize that same-sex marriage, which you know what happened as a result of that. It's proven and plaintiffs, they said, Michigan now is required to recognize the party's same-sex marriage, and plaintiffs' complaint alleges facts that, if proven, are sufficient to establish equitable parenthood, which they already had their little parental agreement, right? Okay, you're going to get visitation. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to get 6 months. No, you're going to, no, 6 months, no. Kids going to stay with me 9 months, come with you 3 months. They probably was arguing over something, you know, something. And you know me, to me, I would honor the biological parents' decision on when I see the child. You know what I'm saying? Or the custodial parent, or the female. Me being a male, it said if my daughter, if she lives somewhere else, when can I see her? She go to school somewhere else. So that's about 8-9 months right there. So you know she's gonna. I'm not gonna split her year up. You know what I'm saying? It's the kid. It's not a candy bar or a hoagie. You know what I'm saying? It's a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to disrupt my child's life just so I can have the same amount of months out of a year that the mother has with. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, these guys is arguing over something. I don't know what they was arguing over. I don't have the whole case. You know, but they couldn't agree. I don't know why, but they couldn't agree. But she took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Mm-hmm. Because she was acting as a parent. You know what I'm saying? She didn't have legal custody. She wasn't an adoptive parent. She wasn't a biological parent. She didn't have any of the legal things to back her up. And she didn't have any science to back her up. You know what I'm saying? Which is DNA, biological stuff. So anyway, in that Michigan holding, right, they said the court adopted the equitable parent doctrine in Atkinson, 160 Michigan, right, at 608-609 holding. We adopt the doctrine of equitable parent and find that a husband who is not the biological father of a child born or conceived during the marriage may be considered the natural father of that child, right? The husband and the child mutually acknowledge a relationship as a father and a child, or the mother of the child has cooperated in the development of such a relationship over a period of time prior to the filing of the complaint of divorce. So that means somebody acting in the parental role, right? But they have certain criteria for that. You know what I'm saying? And the husband desires to have rights afforded to a parent, and the husband is willing to take on the responsibility of paying child support. That's what the lady was willing to do. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Oh, okay.
Right. Same thing the lady was doing in the same-sex marriage.
She wants to do that.
She wants to do it. Right. She wants to do it. Right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So the father is a male. The husband, you know, is a male, and he knows it's not his kid. He wants to be parental and everything like that.
Right. He's an equitable parent. Right. He's an equitable parent. He's acting in a parental role with the child. I get that, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I understand that, you know, but he's not a legal parent. But they made the term equitable, making it certain attributes in a relationship with a child and the parent of the child a legal concept. You understand what I'm saying? So the court stated that given this recognition that a person who is not the biological father of a child can be considered a parent against his will and consequently burdened with the responsibility of the support of the child. There's the mule kick.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Huh? That's what the court said.
I don't believe that, sir. Yeah.
Such a person, in being treated as a parent, may also seek rights of custody of parenting time. So that means you shacking up with somebody with a kid, you acting as a parent, that kid's calling you dad, right? Son, you going to school? Yes, my son right here. You know, in the neighborhood, yes, my wife, oh, that's my son right there. You know, it's just like the, you know. I mean, just because you call somebody your wife, did that make her your wife? You call somebody your wife for 2 years, does that make her your wife?
No.
Same thing for a kid. That's like, it's not your kid just because you say it's your son. But somehow these jokers are saying if you say it is, the kid calling you dad, kid going to call you whatever you teach him to call you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So that doesn't make you who they say you are. It is some facts that people just ignoring here with this whole situation. So, anyway, that's basically how it goes. So, that means, so from that, this lawyer I gave him a read and all that stuff, I guess he came to the conclusion that, hey, you know, a woman could take you to court for watching her, you know, might want to take a man to court for, you know, if you watch your kids or the kids calling you dad, you're doing anything that's considered a perennial role. But watching a kid is a perennial role, but it's also a role of a teacher. Also, back in the day, the roles of older siblings. I guess my sister would my mom could take her to court or something. My dad could take her to court for support because she's to watch that, right?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So I mean, like, I'm like, come on now. To me, these people are just over the top. You know, and they should. In the beginning, they need to establish this whole who's a parent and who's not a parent legally. Not after they break up. They keep making up these laws, making up these circumstances and things like that, you know, because somebody's connected to your kid, you know, and I get it. You know, a non-biological parent is have the connection to your child, and, you know, the two people might want to, they haggling over who going to do what, and I don't care how you look at it, you the non-biological parent. You don't have the same connection that that biological parent had. You understand what I'm saying? Especially a woman. You didn't carry the baby for 9 months. You ain't birthed the baby. Mm-hmm. And you should respect that person as a mother, as a parent, and what they say and what the, whatever decision they make in terms of when the child could be available to you. You got to respect that. But they don't seem to be looking at it like that. Mm-hmm. But God's been doing this forever. We've been doing this forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see your kid, whenever you can see your kid, what's a good time? Because you live in a separate household. That's the two different kingdoms. It might even be two different cultures depending on how you live in or what change you might have made in your life. You know what I'm saying? So you have this situation here. And all I'm saying is, you know, it just seems like people are straining at a net. You know, how do you get to call a person, you know, these are different circumstances I'm talking about, because one was the same sex, where the person wants to be all that, saying I'm an equitable parent because I acted as a parent and I deserve to have custody of this child. You know, I mean, right there, that's like, whoa. So you're saying just because you acted as in a parental role, you get to supersede her in court? You get to, you know what I'm saying? You get to, mm-hmm. You get to get the court to take some of her power away from her, and she actually gave birth to the child. You know what I'm saying? And it's actually her child. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Something mm-hmm. wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Like if two women, the parent, the egg came from the one of the women, but the one that gave birth to the child wasn't the it's not her egg, with the egg from the other one. You know what I'm saying? The embryo, right? Sperm and the egg. It's not related. I can see that person saying, you know, but that would make her the biological parent, though. You know what I'm saying? But that's... See if it's two females, right?
Right.
Instead of the female that had the baby, that being her egg, it was the egg of the other one. But she didn't give birth to the child. She put her egg inside her partner.
Oh, yeah.
She gave birth to
that's
the baby.
That's quick right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that would be her kid. Because she is a biological parent. You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know...
Wait a minute. Don't they both have a biological connection now?
Well, the other person, in terms of DNA, is not connected. Because it's the egg.
Right. She has a genetic connection. Right. But that other one definitely has a biological connection because... She came from her body.
Right. She had the biological. She definitely had the biological, but not as in terms of being the natural parent. She's a vessel.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
Yeah.
But I can see them. I can see that going to court and saying, "No, I want to see my. But I, you know, I want to see my kid. You know, doing some holidays or something like that." You know, those things worked out outside of a courtroom anyway. You know, because somebody has to be the dominant parent. You can't have two households ruling over a child. You know, equally, it can't work that way. Maybe some people manage to do that, but that seems stupid to me. That's like that thing in the Bible where the two ladies arguing over the baby, and the guy said, "Well, let's cut the baby in half." You won't have mm-hmm. the half. It's because you being that's how unrealistic you being. Listen, be reasonable and understand you can't always get what you want because y'all not together. You know what I'm saying? And when you mm-hmm. separate from somebody, somebody's gonna lose something. Somebody's gonna lose mm-hmm. some time and things like that. So in that situation, I can kind of see. You know, I can see the lady being connected to the child also and have, you know, taken part in raising the child. I understand that. You know, but this whole thing about the natural parent, is another issue. Like, by definition, right, they say that adoptive, they call her an adoptive parent a natural parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is another issue in terms of law, right? So, so this lady is an equitable parent, right? Same sex or not, male or female or whatever, she's an equitable parent by law and by function of what she was doing, even by the only admission of the other parent, because they had set up their own visitation thing. They just had a dispute over the visitation, which to me, that's no reason to take somebody to court. You don't go into court with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Work that out outside of the courtroom.
Hey, how long is your show?
9:30.
I gotta call you back.
All right.
All right. I'm listening, but I'm in the store, so.
Oh, okay. Store stuff. All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. So, an equitable parent doctrine. It's the principle that a spouse who is not the biological parent of a child born or conceived during the marriage may, in a divorce action, be considered the child's natural father or mother if the spouse and the child both acknowledge the parent, the parent-child relationship, right? Non-biologically related spouse wants parental rights. That means you want to be responsible for this child, you want the rights of a biological parent, and they are willing to take on responsibility of paying support. So that's why the lady was asking for support, even though, because she wants custody, she has to be willing to pay support. So she must have knew that doctrine, and you know, the doctrine sometimes applies to non-spousal partners as well. They said. Very few jurisdictions apply this, the doctrine. So if you're parenting a child, that doesn't make you a natural parent. That makes you make them a parent, or it makes them parenting. The natural parent can only be the natural parent, the biological parent, the person who is one half of the reason the child was naturally or vaginally or sperm donated or egg donated. In short, you have to be either the egg donor or the sperm donor to be the natural parent, even if you arrive through an unnatural process, artificial insemination of the natural parent's sperm, union of sperm and egg, right? And that's what's wrong with some folks. They want to play God and name everything, in this case, rename, redefine what already is, what naturally is. It is delusional to think you can become the natural parent because you assume a parental role. Science will not support that decision. We need to get the nutcases out of the courtroom. Facts are important. If we do not acknowledge the facts, we become subjected to another person's delusion. That is insanity. From dictionary.com, natural means existing in or formed by nature, opposed to artificial, right? Biologically, genetics related to as a birth parent whose egg or sperm contributed to the DNA of the child. So this whole thing about becoming a natural parent, they don't. This is some, you know, you. That's unnecessary because you're not the natural parent. So natural and biological refer to something that occurs in nature. The judicial system is not a part of nature. Therefore, any ruling, legislation that supports, determines anything that is not of nature as something that is of nature is delusional. In short, not true. Yet some geniuses think it's appropriate, even true or factual, that a non-biological parent can be given the distinct designation of a natural parent. simply because someone said so, not based on any facts at all, and in this case, science at all. So, and there's nothing wrong. I'm not against people parenting children who are not, they're not the biological parent, but why on earth would you want to masquerade as the natural parent? You don't need to do that. All you need to do is love a child, and I don't see what the problem is. You don't even have to be, you can be the uncle. You can be the big brother. You just parent the child. So a natural parent, from law inside, a natural parent or the adopted parent having paternity, having primary care of the child or children who are regular full-time university employees will be eligible to receive 17 weeks of normally continuous paid parental leave, including the date of birth or adoption per pregnancy or placement. Anyway, so a natural parent is an adoptive parent. It's kind of using in the same mean the same thing. They consider adoptive parents as natural parents. Anyway, I say keep it simple and to the point. If someone wants to be a parent. Do all the things a parent does. Don't try to usurp the identity of the biological or natural parent. Tell the truth. That way, you won't have to tell the truth later. So, now you have these other cases. I'm going to skip forward because we're running out of time. Because there's just with the equitable parent document, you know, as I said, you know, an agreement was made between the two parents. They presented the they said they had plaintiff was present during the insemination process. Plaintiff was present during the birth of the child. Some men aren't present for all of this. Plaintiff participated in the care and raising of the child until she was prevented from doing so by the defendant. Responsibilities and duties were shared equally between, how you share equal responsibilities? I don't even know how you do that. After the separation, both plaintiff and defendant worked out a parenting time schedule for a significant period. So they identified each other and acted as if they were both the parents. So, and then we had these other cases where we have men who were in court for whatever reason. Somebody said, like I said, I started off saying they were in court. A woman took them to court. Here's one case right here. So a Texas man is battling court. It's battling a court order that mandates he must pay tens of thousands in child support for a child that he did not biologically father and who he met only once. In 2003, child support court order in Texas ruled that Gabriel Cornejo, 45, had to pay child support to his ex-girlfriend who had recently given birth because she vowed there was no way he wasn't the rightful dad, right? I don't know if y'all watched Maury before, but I had. And that thing is something else. So Cornejo, who is currently raising three children of his own and two nephews, claimed that he was not made aware of this and only found out about the child support payments last year when a deputy served him court papers claiming the state of Texas lists him as having another child. He soon met the minor for the first and only time, describing her as a wonderful girl, but after taking a DNA test, learned she was not his after all. So why is this guy still in jeopardy? Only the ex-girlfriend and the state still want $65,000 in back payment. Can somebody explain that to me? You know this guy ain't the father. The ex-girlfriend and the state. State don't care who the father is. Truth don't matter to the court. Ex-girlfriend get to choose a daddy. Pick a daddy out of a hat. Something's wrong with that. Man facing jail for not paying child support for a child DNA proof is not his. That's the same brother. How is he facing jail time for a child that is not his? He didn't know about this kid. He don't even need to know about it because it's not his. Well, who need to know about it is this kid's actual father. Why isn't this mother vested in identifying this kid's actual father? Why isn't the state vested in making this ex-girlfriend identify this kid's actual father? They want him to pay $65,000 for a child DNA says it's not his. Now, something's wrong with that picture, because if they can do that to him, they can do what they want to do with people. Whatever happened to the burden of proof? And he has proof. Texas state law punishes non-payment of child support harder than most, according to the Child Support Division at the attorney's office, right? Cornejo could be extorted and thrown in prison for failing to pay for child support that is not his. This is crazy. The AG's office enforces child support through the following ways: requiring an employee of the deadbeat dad, which he's not. He's not a dad. He don't fit none of the criteria. Intercepting lottery winnings, right? Filing liens against the property or assets owned by the deadbeat dad. He's not a dad. He's not a father. He's not a biological father, nor is he a presumed father. He's not even an acting father. He just met this girl once. He doesn't even fit the equitable parent of doctrine. How is it suspending his driver's license? They're gonna ruin this man's life for a child that's not his, a child that somebody gave him, because that could be anybody, any man, right? Going to court, somebody could take you to court, say you got a kid. You don't show up, for whatever reason, they rule against you, default, just like you didn't show up for a landlord-tenant court, something like that. Then we got a person who's dishonest in the courtroom, and another man, the man is paying for her mistake. You know, she made a mistake of not knowing who her child's father was. Error, I don't know if you call it error or not, but if she knows that it could be somebody else, that's criminal to me. Because you don't get to take a man to court when you know it could be another man's child, or however many it is, like on the Maury show. At least they wasn't in court. Anyway, they call him deadbeat dad and parent, you know, deadbeat dad, parent is all in there, definition of what they're doing in Texas, yet this guy has not been established as a father. He's been ruled out as the father by DNA evidence. Yet, folk want to hold him responsible for $68,000. Nobody coming to his rescue. What basically happened, he was sending a subpoena And he claimed he never received one, and he never appeared in court. As a result, the court issued a default judgment holding Cornejo responsible for 18 years worth of child support, which was totaled nearly $65,000 thus far. Well, the court error and the woman error. So how is he responsible for somebody else's error, somebody else's child? Something is not true. Anyway, I see larceny and the corrupt court system. Why isn't anyone doing something about this miscarriage of justice? These fools don't care about the truth. When evidence that rules a man out in a paternity case is ruled out or ignored, the courts become the will of the idiot, doling out the orders or sentencing. They are willing to destroy a man's life for a lie. Just because the court said so. Knowing. We got another man who's forced to pay child support even though DNA tests proved child was not his. And I'm not saying a man shouldn't pay for, shouldn't support his kid, but come on. This has nothing to do with that. Anybody think that it does is as sick as these people right here. Thinking that a man should pay $65,000 of child support for a child that's not his just because somebody said, I'm ruling this, your kid, you pay for it. Is this, I don't know, are we in a republic, a democracy, or is this some kind of, you know, man, help me out, what's going on? Is it a dictatorship? Because here the court is dictating. They don't really care about the truth. They just want money. They don't care who the father is. Seems like the judge would say, you came to the court 18 years ago. You wasn't being transparent, and you wasn't being truthful. You owe us $68,000. Because one thing you know for sure, that's the mother. Anyway, but if there's no consequences for something like that, it's going to continue to happen. People don't have any ethical, moral fortitude other than to take people over to court who are not guilty, not the father, subpoena people, for whatever reason, and you know that, hey, this could be somebody else's kid. That's wrong. A Florida man. Where was this guy from? Texas, right? Texas. This is a Florida man. You know, what's going on? Florida man. Said he was forced to pay child support even though the DNA tests prove he's not the child's biological father. What is going on? It's from the first Coast News report. Excuse me. Joseph Sinawa of St. Augustine went to St. John's County Courthouse in an attempt to get visitation rights for a child. At the time of the child's birth, Sinawa had signed the birth certificate believing he was the child's father. Now, that could happen. Well, apparently it did happen. So, but that could happen to anybody. And may have happened to some people that don't know it happened to them. When a judge ordered a DNA test to prove his paternity. Now, this is the part about this I don't get. When a judge ordered a DNA test to prove his paternity. So it sounds like judge just wanted to lock this guy in with the responsibility. But he learned that the child was not his. The judge ordered a DNA test. Why is the judge ordering a DNA test and not making a decision based on the DNA test? This is what I'm saying. Like, what you order a test for if you're going to throw out the evidence? That's like what you, it's like you get fingerprints, but you're going to throw them out. You're going to get an expert testimony, but you're going to throw it out because you're going to do what you want to do. And the man was emotionally devastated. He traumatized. Right? And that's sad. Although the child's mother was reportedly told that the has reportedly told the court that she is fine with Sawana not playing, Sanawa not paying child support, the state insisted that Sanawa continue paying. The state is insisting. You understand what here? Y'all listening to this nonsense? And I keep trying to tell y'all, look here, no man is free. It's one man is a slave. We let this happen to this man. It's going to happen, period, for everybody. We all subject to it. Everybody should be treated fair in these courtrooms, and they're not doing it. Which is no secret. I'm not saying anything profound or anything like that, but look at this. This is just outright wrong and evil. The mother said she was fine with Sinawa not paying child support. I mean, you ought to be fine with that. He ain't the father. He's not the daddy. But the state insisted that he pay. At the time, they had been taking $83 out of his paycheck, more than one-third of his pay. He ain't got no money. $83, one-third of his pay. He said when he thought he was a father, he had no problem with that. So he did the right thing. How come he's the only one willing doing the right thing? And the state, though a judge initially decided that Sinawa should not pay, the Florida Department of Revenue appealed the decision. So this is corruption. You see how it corrupts this? It is blatant. It's documented corruption. Claiming that he did not go through the appropriate channels to disestablish paternity. Judge ordered a DNA test. They said the judge ordered, excuse me. When a judge ordered a DNA test to prove his paternity, what do you mean he didn't go through the right channels? So these people just get to say, control the narrative, dictate what is true, and do what they want to with this man's life. That's wrong. According to, that was according to a lawyer, family law practicing attorney. So, something's wrong with this picture. You know, how is it there's no intervention on these type cases? Because this is to be kicked out. The attorney expects that Sinawa, who is representing himself, to be let off the hook at some point, but not without taking a significant hit on his bank. He ain't got no bank account. $83 is one-third of his salary. Come on, if it's check. Are you kidding me? They said, he quote this attorney, he said, you're just making a father pay child support every month now for an extended period of time, which he should not be paying until he follows these procedures. I say he was paying them the whole time. He shouldn't have been paying them. The problem with the Department of Revenue is that the state is their client, not the mom. Well, that means you're being taxed. And you're not being represented, because who is the state? No. What I mean by the state is their client. Who is the state? If the state does not represent the people, the state is the enemy of the people. Where does the money go? The only thing a man needs to prove is that he did not father the child. Again, get these doubles out of the courtrooms before something happens. Men outraged over paying child support for kids who are not theirs. ABC News. So this is going down, and it's going down frequently. Most people think you have to either adopt or conceive a baby to become legally responsible for a child. God said he became a daddy by default, right? I didn't show up in court. They gave me a baby and a bill. This is wrong. He and three other men came to Detroit-based radio station, right, to discuss this, right? Anyway, pastor says, one guy said, I don't really want to talk about it. It brings tears to my eyes. Pastor Max says the betrayal led to divorce. He was shocked when the judge told him because he was married, he became dad by default to his wife's children. He had to pay support for another man's children. Let them pay for them. Let her get the man she laid down with to pay for them. I don't know how that happened. Pastor Matt says his previous wife had three children. He loved them as his own. Then he realized two of them weren't his biological children. That's what happened with him. I skipped that. I'm sorry. So that, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, like if you're not coming in a courtroom being transparent, you don't throw nobody under the bus. Just because you know you're wrong. I said, what? Nothing done to this lady. But that's the thing. He's married to her. Two of the kids not here, so he's still responsible, he's saying. So the guy that fathered these kids, he don't have no responsibility. That's the message he's sending out. He said, I never even slept with her, said Anthony Simmons, of the mother of the child he is paying for. I never even slept with her. I had a lawsuit when I was young. She said that is the money I'm going to get, and she got it. What's going on here? Reginald Whitlow, Anthony Simmons, and Carnell Alexander have a similar story. They say women named them out of nowhere, just picking these guys' name out of a hat. And if there's no consequences, I'm going to tell you, this goes for all the crime. You don't have no consequences for the crime. None. You can be 100% assured that it's going to continue and it's going to happen frequently. Somebody needs to do something about this. These men missed paternity hearings because they were sick or did not receive a notice. One of them had proof. He was in prison when a process server claimed he was served at a house in Highland Park. So they look at the lion. You got a man saying he's served a warrant to a man that was incarcerated. When they didn't show up in court, the judge ruled them dads by default. That's kangaroo. They then missed their chance to challenge it with DNA evidence by the court deadline because they couldn't find the women and children. What kind of nonsense is this? They wouldn't give him the address, one guy said, Whitlow. These men all eventually got DNA tests back in their stories. But it was too late. How is it too late to prove that you're not the father of a child to rescind a court order of paternity that isn't real, isn't true. How is that even possible? Said oftentimes it doesn't make a difference. Said Representative Jim Runstead, Republican on White Lake, of DNA results. It's not doesn't make a difference. If DNA results doesn't make a difference, what the hell are you running DNA tests for? DNA tests are getting guys out of jail right now. That's on death row. But it can't get a guy out of a child support order? Are you kidding? He's talking about passing legislation that would protect men from being forced to pay for another man's children. What do you mean? They already got a legislation on perjury. You're not supposed to perjure yourself in the courtroom. And the court is not supposed to perjure itself. The judge is not supposed to support perjury, known lies. Plus the women in the process serves who lie should face legal consequences. Number one, aren't people being let out of prison due to DNA evidence? Yes, they are. Science. Since 1989, 270 people have been released from the prison after DNA evidence proved their innocent. Since 1989, 273 people have been released from prison after DNA evidence proved their innocence, according to the Innocence Project, the national organization. This is from the Greenberg and Greenberg Attorney at Law Corporation. They said the national organization's primary goal is to help exonerate wrongfully convicted. 260 individuals were exonerated since 2000, and 17 of the innocent spent time on death row. Are you telling me DNA evidence can get these guys out of prison, off death row, but it can't get you out of a child support order? It can't stop the state from extorting you. It's wrong. Yeah, we know it's wrong. It's not just wrong, it's criminal. Let's call it what it is. The men who spoke to 7 Action News don't just want the law changed to protect others. They want compensation, which they deserve. Anything they paid in, they need to get back. The state owes it back to them. You get your check garnished, and I'm getting thrown in jail, and I'm getting felony charges, said Sims. One of them said, all that, and then that kid ain't his? So is that okay? Isn't it illegal to punish a man you know is innocent? Since there's no consequences for this atrocity, the behavior will never change. If they have to make laws for something that as obvious as DNA paternity confirmation and child support, it will only be indicative of how corrupt the demons in the courts are. We running out of time, y'all. Until next week, watch what. Be careful who you lay with.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.